Welcome back. Well, it's darker days at Eskom. ANC Treasurer General Paul Mashatile is calling for the ailing power utility to be moved from the public enterprises to the energy department, and that to deal with its challenges. This in the wake of Jabu Mabuza having resigned as chair of Eskom's board and bringing to seven the amount of chairpersons the state-owned entity has had over the last 12 years, along with 12 CEOs over that period. Energy analyst Chris Yelland joins us on the line now with his analysis of the current state of the utility. Thanks so much, Chris, for your time this evening. So over the past 12 years, we've had Eskom see seven board chairs and 12 CEOs, and that's simply staggering, Chris, with Chairman Jabu Mabuza having now fallen on his sword after load shedding resumed sooner than expected this year. Surely there's more to it than just that. Some of the assumption already out there is that it speaks more to the fact that the management team of the utility isn't really in charge.
Yeah, I do think Eskom is becoming a football, a political football, in a power struggle at the highest levels of the government and party. So we're seeing a contestation between the Minister of Public Enterprises and the Minister of Mineral Resources and Energy. And I don't see how any improvement can possibly come in the current circumstances where we have just seen and lost the chairman of Eskom, new CEOs on board. The company is in crisis mode. With financially, operationally, and environmentally, and I would think that to do a transfer to a new ministry is incredibly disruptive at this stage, and I can't see any good coming of it at all.
Of course, this in a context where governance of the ultimate kind is what's needed here, and it's really hard to argue that any kind of good, solid governance happens under a revolving leadership like this, Chris. Where are your confidence levels sitting when it comes to André de Ruyter and his capability to actually maneuver here?
Yeah, you see, the future of the electricity supply industry is really not in André de Ruyter's hands. And I think the same applies to the future of Eskom. It has become a political football. We've seen this turmoil going on. There is deep contestation. Really, ultimately, I believe it's to do with the control of resources in this country. So you have the coal and nuclear lobbies, you have the renewable lobbies, and the gas lobbies, and there is this contestation taking place. And at the very top, it's an ideological battle between what I would call the more reactive approaches and the more progressive approaches. And we're seeing this played out as people contest for industries like the coal sector and protecting their status quo and their vested commercial interests.
And that's what makes it even more difficult to actually shift government's stance on things like policy positions and messaging as well, reducing unnecessary policy and regulatory constraints in particular. Are you managing to bend any ears on this?
Well, I do my job. I write, I interact, I engage on the media. And whether people listen or not or pay any attention or not is outside of my control. But there is this ideological battle at play, as I see it. The central planners, the command and control kind of economic approach versus a more market-orientated approach where one opens up the electricity generation sector, not just to a single monopoly, Eskom, but a wider covering municipal generators, public-private partnerships, independent power producers, and literally thousands of small-scale and even medium and large-scale embedded generators on customers' premises. So you have this one approach that thinks that government can do everything, and it clearly can't. It's failing all the time. And on the other hand, you have the resources of the market and the customers who are willing to and wanting to play their rightful role in looking after their own energy future. And this contestation is playing out politically at the highest level. And I think it's very damaging. You know, we need to put aside politics in this matter. Mm-hmm. And get, you know, for me, it's not an ideological issue. I don't mind. Well, I don't care if it's a centrally controlled system as long as it works.
Absolutely.
But if it doesn't work, you know, let's not argue about ideological issues. Let's just do something that works.
Okay, so that part
at the moment doesn't work.
The starting point that you've, propositioned here, what government is looking to do instead is stabilize and improve the dismal performance at, its fleet of coal-fired power stations. Are we being realistic as far as that's concerned when it comes to expectations and what can actually be achieved on those fronts?
Well, you know, I listened to various politicians, like Mr. Didi Mabuza, talking about, the need for better maintenance. The time for playing Tetris with generation units, maintenance, trying to slot it in the available space, like a game, to try and, maximize the benefits of maintenance. It's history. It's over. The plant is damaged. It has been severely overloaded. It has been subject to deferred maintenance. It has skipped the midlife refurbishment. This plant is old, it's past midlife, and it's damaged. Maintenance now has, it can achieve some results, but with diminishing returns for the amount of work and money that you have to pour into this. And ultimately, old plant has to be retired, and new plant has to come in and replace it. And no amount of tinkering with maintenance on an old, clapped-out car that is breaking down continuously. At some point, you've got to get rid of it and build something new that is reliable and clean and delivers.
Absolutely. Well, let's leave it there, Chris. Thanks so much for having joined us on the line this evening. That, of course, energy analyst Chris Yelland.